words today. I'm going to focus mainly on two words today that are inextricably connected when it comes to our relationships. When it comes to all the relationships we have, whether it's a husband and wife, a boyfriend and girlfriend, whether it's a parent and a child, whether it's friendships, business partners, you name it, whatever it is, there are two words that are very connected, and they're probably two of the most important words, if not the most important words. When it comes to being able to keep a relationship good, or in restoring, especially restoring a relationship after there has been a break in that, after there has been a hurt done, after there's been a wrong done. I want to talk to you about these two words this morning. Jesus spoke often about these words. Let me give you the two words first and just tell you what they are. Here are the two words. We're going to talk today about forgiveness and about trust. Forgiveness and trust. Now, Jesus spoke often about forgiveness. You know, here's the main thing. Whenever I say I'm going to talk about forgiveness, there are a lot of people, and then when I say a lot, I don't know if it's a majority, but I just know there's a lot of people that say, oh, great, I don't want to hear about that. I'm serious. You know why? Because a lot of God's people don't want to forgive somebody. They don't want to. They say, look, I spoke with somebody this week carrying a 36-year burden of unforgiveness and doesn't want to let it go. I am counseling a couple. It's actually the pastor of a very successful church and his wife in Central Ohio. I'm counseling them every week now. And she is holding on to some things going on that she cannot let go of from before they were even Christians. Before they even trusted the Lord and before they got into the ministry 37 years ago. Been in the ministry for 37 years and struggling with this kind of an issue. And there's so many more. And so I feel like it's very, very important that I talk about this today. So Jesus talked a lot about forgiveness, but he did not talk a lot about trust. You won't find a lot about, other than us trusting God, he didn't talk a lot about us trusting one another. And so what happens a lot of times is we don't really understand these two words and their relationship to one another. And if we don't understand their relationship, if we don't understand, first of all, what they are and their relationship to one another, then we have a very difficult time doing either one. So let me share with you. Let me kind of just jump right into this. So forgiveness. Forgiveness is necessary for restoration of a relationship. Forgiveness is necessary for the restoration, now notice, of a relationship. In other words, you cannot restore even a moderate relationship without there being some forgiveness. However, trust is necessary for a good relationship. You see, forgiveness is the first step. If we don't forgive someone, we're not going to have any kind of relationship with them. Until we get to the place where we can trust again, that's what's necessary for a good relationship. Or could I say maybe a restoration of the old relationship? Or the ideal thing, the beginning of a brand new relationship, a good relationship, a wonderful relationship. And these are the tough things that we struggle about. Now, here's where it really gets tricky. So let me talk you through this. So here's why it's so tricky. Because forgiveness, believe it or not, is very hard to define, but if we define it properly, it's actually very easy to do. Now, when I say that right there are a lot of people, and I guarantee you there's a lot of people in this room and people at home who say, right there, I'm out, because I already know that's not true, Pastor. I know that's not true. You can't convince me that forgiveness is easy to do, because I've been trying for 36 years. I've been trying for 41 years. Or you think about this situation in your life and you say, you know what, that is something that I just cannot forgive. Have you ever said something like, don't raise your hand, but have you said, this is the one thing I'll never be able to forgive. Never be able to forgive this. And this is because we don't understand it. We can learn to define forgiveness properly, which I'm going to do for you, then we will actually find that forgiveness is very easy to do. However, trust is very easy to define. It's very easy to know what trust is, but it's actually the part that's very hard to do. Are you with me? If you have been through a very, very difficult betrayal, a tremendous hurt, or someone has done something to you, it's actually not the forgiveness part that you need to struggle with. It's the trust part that we're all going to struggle with. But I hope today is very, very helpful. See, in 25 years, I'll celebrate 25 years of ministry this coming July. And in that full-time ministry, and in that time, I tens of thousands of counseling hours, this is what I find to be true. I find that most people, when they say, I cannot forgive, I'm struggling to forgive, what they struggle with is the fact that it's actually, forgiveness is the easy part. It's the trust part that we're struggling with. And the problem comes in when we put these two things together. Because Jesus didn't talk a lot about trust, we get the false idea that forgiveness and trust are the same things. Or that you have to trust in order to fully forgive. And that's what I want to help with today. You see, the truth is that when Jesus was teaching about this, forgiveness is necessary in order to trust, but it's not guaranteed. And you can forgive someone completely without trusting someone completely. You follow me? You can forgive someone, and in fact, you're supposed to forgive. But Jesus never commanded. In fact, forgiveness is a command. Trust is not a command. God didn't say, in order for you to truly forgive somebody, you have to then trust that person completely. And in fact, I'm going to talk at the end of the message. Please stay with me, because the end of the message is so important, because a failure to trust someone completely is actually a very good thing in your relationship. So hang on and let me get to that, please. And let's talk then. So Jesus was teaching about relationships. We're going to go to the book of Matthew. And Jesus was talking about relationships, and he was teaching about how we need to, you know, there's a proper way to go about a disagreement. You know, if we have a disagreement, if Tim and I have a disagreement here in church, there's a proper way for he and I to go about that. And the Bible says it's basically we go to some spiritual people and talk to them and let them help us, and hopefully we're reconciled back together. By the way, I don't think there's anything between us, is there, Tim? Yeah, well, you don't know how I feel. And there's proper channels. And so Jesus was teaching that. And he said, you know, you need to let that be done in the church. The church is the one that can help you with that. But I don't have time for all that. So then after he's done teaching about this, Peter comes up to him and asks him a question. Here's the question. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Now, this is a loaded question. All right? We know what a loaded question looks like, right? Obviously, Peter's got something going on. It could have been Andrew. Maybe it was one of the other disciples. Maybe it was a business partner. But he's got something going on with someone who seems to possibly be repeatedly hurting him. Does anybody know what that feels like? Anybody else know what it feels like to have someone just seems like just repeatedly doing somebody wrong? And he said, so how often? He's asking Jesus for a number. He says, up to 7 times. And so we'll just kind of let that stay there for a minute. Peter, we have to remember, Peter is actually a very young Christian here. I think oftentimes we think about this, we think of Peter as this giant of the faith. At this point, Peter was a very young Christian. He was at most a 3-year-old Christian, okay? And at this point, he wasn't even that. He had met Jesus. Jesus had called him. When Jesus called him, he was just a cussing fisherman, right? He was a cussing, just like, basically like Sue. And that's how he was, right?
Yes.
And so he's trying to figure it all out. He's trying to figure out, Jesus, what exactly are you saying? When you say, Maria, you picked the absolute worst place to sit. You sat behind Andre the Giant. Maria's like 3'2", and Robin's, she was leaning out, sorry. What was I talking about? He just totally distracted me, Maria. No, he said, so he was looking for this number. He's trying to figure this out. He's like most of us. He's trying to figure it out. He's trying to figure out, what does Jesus want from me? I mean, did you ever wonder, when you think about forgiving someone, especially someone who's really, really hurt you, you ever wonder, what exactly does Jesus expect from me? What does Jesus really expect me to do with this betrayal, this thing that was done to me? And so this is kind of where Peter was, you know, and Peter was thinking about somebody. I think either maybe they had a flaw in their character, or maybe there is someone who's a lot like people in our lives. Maybe it's a lot like some of us. you know, families have a tendency to get the same hurts over and over again. Think about in Home of Addiction. You know, we have a wonderful addictions recovery ministry. But, you know, a part of addiction is hurting the people close to us over and over and over and over and over. And that's kind of where Peter was. He was saying, so what exactly am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to forgive them seven times? Now, Jesus often would answer cryptically. Jesus would often, he was an expert at turning questions around on people. But in this case, he didn't even turn this around. He just simply took Peter at what he asked, and he ratcheted it up to an extreme level. Watch his response in verse number 22. Here's what Jesus said back to him. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Who's a mathematician? 490 times. Now, that's probably, in all likelihood, this was probably a reference in the Hebrew culture, in the Jewish culture. The number seven had special significance. It was probably a symbolic thing representing this number is a number of completions. So it probably meant, basically, he was basically saying, as many times as it takes. As many times as it takes. As many times as he hurts you. As many times as he fails you. This does not resonate with a lot of people in the room, I can tell right now. You're saying, time out. I gave you a chance, Pastor, but you said it wasn't going to be like this. And now you're telling me that I have to forgive this person every time they do this thing to me that they do constantly? Yes, you do.
Amen.
You do. Well, you don't have to, but to be right with God, you do. Time out. But I didn't say you have to trust that person again. Jesus did not say you have to forgive them and trust them just like you always did. He didn't say you have to forgive them and then make yourself vulnerable to them as much as you always have. So stay in this for just a little while longer. So Peter picked this number, and you know, we know this is what's going on. So basically he was saying, this is kind of an impossible thing for us to do if we don't understand what true forgiveness really is. So the question then becomes, what is forgiveness? What is forgiveness? When Jesus says to forgive, does it mean the same thing that we think of? See, we have this tendency to stick forgiveness and trust together and think they're the same thing. We have this tendency to think that when Tim forgives me, you know what, let me just use a real example. I just realized yesterday that I did something to Joe about a year ago. Didn't even realize I did it. I was actually asked, I asked him to prepare a, remember when I was doing the Moments of Hope, those of you that were tuned in that, I asked him to prepare one for me, and he actually went out and bought some things to do that, and then I ended up cutting that off and completely forgot about it. And we were having a conversation yesterday, and that came out, and I felt so bad about that, because I realized I have wronged him. I had told him, I want to do this thing with you, and he prepared for it, and then I just dropped it, and I never said a word about it. You know, and so there's this thing, and so as we look at the situation, what Jesus was saying was, you have to understand the difference between, because the fact of the matter is, I'll just tell you straight up how it came out, and this is to Joe's credit, and he's a tremendous Christian. Because what he said to me when I asked him to do something else, he said, are you serious this time? You can laugh about it. I wasn't laughing. Because, man, the last thing I would ever do in a million years is hurt one of my dear friends and one of my dear church members on purpose. And I felt terrible about it. I still feel terrible about it. He tells me it's okay, but I still feel terrible. See, we all have a tendency to do things like this. Sometimes the people who have hurt you don't even know they've hurt you. And by the way, I had already prepared this message that nothing, it just happened to be that God decided he really needed to nail it home with you, I guess. So after someone does something, the truth is most of us, after someone does something the third or fourth time, we're like, yeah, you know what? There's no point in forgiving again because they're just going to continue to do it. I think grandparents oftentimes deal with this with grandchildren, parents with children, husbands and wives, friends and other friends. And so So we have to learn what the difference is. So we're commanded to forgive. In fact, let me show you how we're commanded. So Jesus finished the story this way, and then I'm going to get real practical, and we'll wrap the message up and try to put it all together. So Jesus sort of wrapped it up this way. He said, you're commanded to forgive, as hard as it may seem to you. Next verse, 35. He says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you. He was talking about this. He told this story about a king who forgave a servant, and the servant wouldn't forgive his of the others. And you can read that story. It's in that chapter. But he says, so my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now, that's the part that we just struggle with, isn't it? It's like, well, now, please understand, this was before the cross. God will not write us off if we don't forgive one another. That is something that was, there's a difference in doctrine there, but we're not going to get into that now. But the point is, God's not okay with us not forgiving. Does everybody see that? His will is still the same. His will is for you to forgive that person no matter what he did. That first husband and what he did, that first boyfriend, that old boyfriend, that ex, that neighbor, that next boss, that business partner who cheated, whatever the situation is, whatever we find, he said, you will not be right with your father until you forgive. So, how do we do that? How can we forgive? What is forgiveness? Paul said it this way. Let me show you what Paul said in the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, he said, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Can I just remind you before I try to illustrate what forgiveness is? He said, you are to forgive one another because God forgave you, not because you deserve it.
Amen.
He didn't even forgive you because he loves you. He didn't forgive you because of anything about you. He did it because Jesus asked him. He did it because Jesus asked him to. And Jesus loves us. So we are supposed to do just as Jesus did. We are supposed to forgive others because of Jesus. Does that make sense? So what is forgiveness? I have files here. I want you to just, these are actually old Bible studies. But pretend like they're files, something else, okay? So I have files for every person I've ever met. Every person I've ever had a relationship with, Reverend. I have a file on Harold. I've shared that with the FBI. I have a file on Diane, Teresa, Tony, Dave, all the way. Every person I've ever met, my wife. Every person I've ever met, I have a file on. And in that file contains every wrong they've ever done with me. And they're all true, by the way, because I know, because I made the files. See, every time someone hurts me, I make a note of it and put it in the file. You do too, by the way. We all do this. It's all up here. It's all here. Every time somebody's ever hurt me, there's a note made in their file. And it's ironclad. I mean, it's ironclad. They're guilty. There's no question about it. Right? By the way, you have a file on me. You have a file on the person sitting next to you. Because this is what we do. We create in our minds these files for every wrong that's ever been done to us. And it doesn't really matter. I mean, the guy that sold you a car, that he cheated you, you have a file on that person. Here's the thing. Every single person that I have met, I am supposed to forgive. But I've got this file on them. And some of them are thicker than others, right? Some of them are very thick. Some of them are thin, but some of them are very thick. But I've got all these files. Did you step on a mouse? What was that? It's not a sneeze. That was, I don't know what that was. All right, look back up here. It was a squeak. Step on a mouse. I have a file for every time somebody disrupts my church service. In fact, you should see this. I couldn't even carry Chase file. I mean, I'd have to have help to bring it in. But I have this file. It's got every lie that they told to me in it. It's got every wrong they did to me. It's got all these things. I have a case file for every relationship. And so what is forgiveness? Can I just share with you what, please don't miss this. Let me share with you what forgiveness is. Because the question that we want to ask God is, So God, what do you expect me to do with this? You ladies that had an abusive relationship, I mean, somebody hurt you bad. Somebody you made yourself vulnerable to. By the way, this is National Single Parent Day. I don't know if anybody even knows that. And my heart goes out to all you single parents. You know, God bless you, we have so many. I remember when you were a single parent, Victoria. I remember when you would come to church in the middle of the winter with no coat. And I just thought you were stupid. Then I realized she was buying a coat for her daughter. There was no money left to buy her. I still feel bad about that. But every wrong that's ever been done, somebody did her wrong. Somebody did you wrong. Some of you are carrying a hurt that is so big, and you look at this and you say, Pastor, what am I supposed to do with that? How am I supposed to forgive that person? How am I supposed to forgive that group of people who hurt me? Look, I had a whole church, you know, lie about me. And people don't believe that stuff. And I had a newspaper reporter that put stuff in the newspaper about me that wasn't true. And there's all this stuff. How do you forgive that? I'll tell you how you do it. Here's what forgiveness is. Because we think that God, when we bring this, we have this file on all these people of our lives, and we're carrying this burden around with us, and we think what God is telling us to do when he says forgive, we think he's telling us to shred it. We think he's telling us to act like it never happened. Burn it, get rid of it, so that it never, that is not what forgiveness is. So please watch. This is what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is simply this. God, give me that Bible.
Amen.
You do with it. You do with it what you gotta do with it.
Amen.
And I'm done. I trust you, God. God, I trust you. I trust you to do what I cannot do, which is to be just and merciful. All at the same time. I don't know how to be the one of those. Do you? Yeah, I know how to be just. Eye for an eye. It's in the Bible, Pastor. I know it's in the Bible. It's not the part of the Bible written directly to you, though. And Jesus said, you're to forgive. And forgiveness is not me acting like it never happened. It's not you acting like it never happened. In fact, you're going to continue to feel the pain even after you forgive. But it's about turning the consequences over to God and let him decide what to do with it. That's what he wants. And by the way, that's what the person who you wronged needs to do also. Can I ask you a question? Who would you rather be in the hands of? The person you hurt or God? Because God knows how to do what we can't do,
right?
Which is to be merciful and to be just. So this is what Paul meant when he said this. When Paul wrote this, he helped us. He said, you turn justice over to God, because here's why. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. He said, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. In other words, let God decide what needs wrath and what doesn't need wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Now please watch this and don't miss this. When God said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, he wasn't just talking about repaying that person who hurt you. He was also saying, I will bless you because you gave the file to me. I will make it up to you. And I'm going to be honest with you, the only reason I can even sit, my life is so good. I am truly living the dream. I have the most wonderful wife. I have a beautiful home. I have everything in this world I could possibly want. I have a church that is the most amazing church in this world. And the only thing I can attribute it to is the fact that I said a few years ago, God, you deal with all that other stuff. I'm not going to try to get revenge. I never defended myself. I never tried. And God says, I will bless you. I will take care of that person who hurt you. I will take care of that ex who cheated you, that person who did this to you. He said, I will take care of it, but I will also make it up to you. I will bless you because you have chosen to forgive. That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is just simply, you want to say something?
Yeah.
And scary.
Something I heard this last year.
Can you make it real quick?
Well, you can reward for forgiveness
is
to bear.
Did you bear?
It's actually to bear, to lift up, and to take away.
So you're like, you're saying, did
yeah.
you bear it? Okay.
So something I learned this last year.
That's awesome.
Take the burden over.
And that is what it is, isn't it? And I know that's what's happening. That's what's happening in a lot. We have a Monday night group that Ken has worked to help get started and sort of branched off of the other support groups. And they're doing some wonderful things. You all are doing some wonderful things with that. I hear great stuff. And so that's what it's all about. He's saying, God is saying, I will take care of you. Just let me. I'll take care of you if you just let me take care of justice. Now, every child of God then can choose that. So the question then becomes, what is trust? Trust is easy to define. Can I tell you what trust is? And I know what time it is. I apologize if I'm going too long, but this is really important because we have to know the difference. So what is trust? Trust, simply defined, is this. It's putting your well-being in the hands of someone else. You see, do you know what a trust fall is? You know, if I stood here on the back of this, and I'm going to do a trust fall, watch this. I'm going to invite Robert and Billy and Ken, Mike, and some. I'm going to invite some strong guys up here. I'm going to get about six really strong men up here if I'm going to do that. And I'm not going to do it, by the way. Not going to do it.
Trust.
See, trust means I don't trust you. I don't have to trust you. I only have to forgive you. But if I'm going to trust my physical well-being, I'm going to make sure it's somebody who's strong enough to catch me. What? This is the critical part for every relationship in the room. Please just give me 10 more minutes here. If I were going to do that, and I were going to do a trust fall, I would bring people up here that I know had the ability to catch me and that I believe would catch me. Okay? Watch. So I would trust them. But what if I said, I love my wife more than anybody, and I invite her to come up here and catch me? Please don't miss this. I love her with everything that I have, but I don't trust her to catch me. I believe she would die trying. But watch. But only a fool would give total trust to someone who is not strong enough to be trusted yet. Only a fool would trust someone, would try to place that burden on someone. So please get this, every married couple. You know, this is why we as married couples need safeguards in our relationships. We need safeguards in our relationships because I'm not strong enough for her to trust me in every single area. It's okay, you can say amen there. You're not strong enough for that person who loves you so much to trust you completely. Only a fool would do that. See, this is why our ministry here was, we minister to broken people, to addictions and things like that. We recognize the fact you can love someone completely. You can even forgive somebody completely, and you're commanded to do that. But only a fool would place total trust in someone who's not strong enough to be trusted yet. You follow? So listen, please. We need to put safeguards in our life. Parents, and children, have you ever, don't raise your hand, but if you're a parent, have you ever had a teenager look at you and say, you just don't trust me? Listen, teenagers, children, listen to me. Please listen to me. You think they don't haven't forgiven you. You say, well, you just haven't forgiven, you know, you won't forgive me. No. You were already forgiven. But only a foolish parent would trust a teenager. Okay, let me finish. Only a foolish parent would trust a teenager completely with the well-being of a family. Because they're simply not strong enough yet to be able to hold the burden of all that trust. They can't catch the family when the family falls. And only a fool would trust that person. Addicts. Addicts, I think, are better at understanding this than the rest, because the rest of us are so stinking proud. The day you stand up and admit your faults in front of a group of people, that's the day you become a much more mature person.
Amen.
Much Let's march on Christ. The only people who don't admit, the only people who don't have any sins, you know, to their name, are the Pharisees and the people who are so proud that they haven't figured out how sinful they are. But addicts know this. They know they can't be trusted. I love to give work to people who are trying to rebuild their lives. Maybe they got out of jail, made some mistakes, paying for all that. And I love to be able to try to find them some work. But you know, as a church, we try to help as many people as we can. We don't hand cash to a heroin addict. Why? Because we don't love them. Because we don't forgive them. Well, first of all, we have nothing to forgive them for. I said, we have nothing to forgive them for.
Amen.
We're not God. They don't sin against us. You know, we don't stand in judgment of them. But we're not foolish to say, I can trust you with this cash. Because that is simply putting a temptation in front of them to go and get something with that they should not. Only a fool would do that. It has nothing to do with love. Husbands, wives, parents, children, business partners, all these relationships, but we've got to remember that we can love somebody completely. We can forgive somebody completely by just simply letting God take care of the consequences, but we don't have to trust them completely. And in fact, we shouldn't trust them completely. Can I illustrate it this way? You know, forgiveness and trust, I wrote this down, forgiveness and trust is a lot like tithing and offerings. One is sort of commanded, one is just a higher expression of love. Comes in time. See, we're supposed to give as God directed us to give. But sometimes our heart is touched and we do a little bit more through an offering. And that's kind of the way the trust is. I'll say this and then I'm done. God loves me completely. God has forgiven me completely. But God doesn't trust me completely. Thank you, Bill. It's true. God can't trust me completely with everything because he knows I'm not strong in every area of my life. So that's why he says, I'm going to give you some principles. I'm going to give you... God wants us to have a great relationship. Do you believe that?
Yes.
God wants to have a great relationship with you. He wants to have a great relationship with me. And the only way we can have a great relationship going forward is if he does not give me total reign over my life. If he doesn't just let me have everything that I want because he can't trust me yet. And that's not a bad thing. I can't resent that. I can't get upset about that. So children, don't get upset when your parents don't trust you completely. They're loving you and they're helping you. They've already forgiven you, but they're protecting you. They're protecting you. Husbands and wives. You say, oh, I trust this person completely. Really? Come on up. Come on up. Let's see the trust fall. I'd love to see Joyce try to catch Harold. Because I know she'd just get out of the way. She's like, you're dumb, man. You're dumb. See, if I did bring my wife up here... And I chose to trust her to catch me. If I chose to trust her completely, guess what? We're both going to get hurt. We're both going to get hurt. And this is why so many of our relationships are hurting. Because we don't know the difference between forgiveness and trust. I hope that today is a day where some of you that are burdened with this will bring your files on people and just leave them there. Let God decide what to do with that person.